Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to A Course in Miracles with CA on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way we experience life and spirituality. And I thank you very much for your patience this morning. We had kind of a little rough start there. You know how this technology is. I mean, you know, we were having a little difficulty getting the sound right, and Susan Dugan said, "Why does it do this? I was just using it." And I said, "Because it's Skype, Susan." This is life. And of course, what I kind of wanted to say in the context of A Course in Miracles is that it's because we set it up this way. You know, truly, on a spiritual level, we love to manifest problems. We love to, you know, to just have things go wrong. We don't think we're doing it that way, but for some reason, we kind of love to be the victim. We love to just feel like we're out of control. So, you know, the more we can just look at these situations and just laugh, you know, just observe what our feelings are, that's really the practice of A Course in Miracles and the practice of forgiveness. So on this first day of February 2019, my guest today is Susan Dugan, and we are going to talk. What we're going to use as a basis for our discussion today is we're going to the workbook for students. And if you go to the workbook and you find review 5, that's between lesson 170 and 171. That's what we're going to talk about. Susan had suggested this because she said it's just such a comforting and, I don't know if she used the word lovely, but just a comforting, wonderful encouragement about the practice of spirituality, about the practice of forgiveness, the practice of A Course in Miracles. So that's what we're going to use as our jumping off point today, which is perfect. So we'll first just forgive Skype, right? So if you are, you know, listening today and you will also want to join me in that private group, we do have that private group over on Facebook, and you can get there by going to the 12radio.com webpage, our website. And when you look on the left side of the page, you will see the word chat. And when you click that, you will be automatically redirected into our page. We use that during all of our live shows here on 1-2 Radio. So come on over there and you can post questions or you can post pictures or, you know, comments, that kind of thing. And there's a number of people already over there. So good morning and thank you to everybody who's already joined us. And I hope we'll have a great discussion today. So as I said, my guest is Susan Dugan. Many of you know her from listening to the show. She's the author of 3 books on forgiveness, and she is an avid writer, both fiction and nonfiction. She does a lot of interviews with personalities or with people that are very involved in A Course in Miracles, and she always posts that on her own personal page, which is, or actually her blog, I guess that would be a website, which is forays.inforgiveness.com. I will post that in the chat room later so that you can go check that out if you haven't. But welcome, Susan. Thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Good. And I mean, it is always a pleasure for me too. I mean, it's just, you know, I said just recently, I think this was a new revelation. I said, I do this show for myself because I really am devoted to, I guess, finding my way in the world, finding my way spiritually. And A Course in Miracles has been such a wonderful and just comforting and enlightening spiritual path. And so I just like to keep it front and center. And doing this radio show is my way of, in a sense, doing that. And so I love having people, you know, provoke me and challenge me and just give me some additional ideas so I don't just get too much in my head, because you know how I do that, Susan. So thank you so much for being here today, and thank you for suggesting the topic. And as usual, I do like to ask you, you know, what were you thinking, or why did this particular section come to you, or what are you hoping from the discussion today? Answer any or all of those questions.
Okay. I loved what you just said about finding our, you know, that we using it to help us find our way in the world. And we think that's kind of what we think we're doing, but with the
You're right. Really
finding our way out of the world, because it's the belief that there is a world apart from God that, you know, that we could make up our, that we did make up ourselves and are now in big trouble with God for, that is the cause of all the problems that we seem to be experiencing in the world, because we have our backs turned to the truth. And we refuse to turn around. So, but I think what really drew me to this lesson was exactly that. See, that kind of getting lost in the world again, forgetting my purpose. And everything was, the world is filled, our lives are filled with problems. One damn thing after another, and I was really, just noticing, feeling that sort of dark night of the soul. And, if we've been on this journey for a while, and we really realize how difficult it can be to apply this to everything. It just seems like it seems like the problems are gaining on us sometimes,
Right.
And that nothing's changing. And we want the answer to be in form, and we go back to, but why do I have to, why we go back to pointing to things in the dream as the reason that we can't be happy or peaceful or healthy or whatever. And so I was doing all of the above and really kind of, feeling stuck, I guess. And what I was at last kind of drawn to was, this section just happens to be a place in the course. There are many that in which Jesus really speaks to us very intimately in a kind of a very soothing way, that he is as if he is a fellow journeyer, that just is further along than we are, and suggesting to us in a very comforting way that meeting us in the condition that we think we're in here in the world, in the dream, by saying that, I take the journey with you. And there's a beautiful prayer in this, which can be very misunderstood as well, that maybe we'll read later, but that culminates in the phrase, God is but love, and therefore so am I. And that's something that we're asked to repeat, not in a robotic way, but to just sort of contemplate that's the truth. That's the truth of what we are. We are still a part of God and in no way separated from that love, but it sure doesn't seem like that. So what I was recognizing in myself, within my own journey, was that what was missing was I was taking it all very, very seriously again, which is always a sign that that we've chosen the ego as our inner teacher, and that we're very invested, even though we're not conscious of it, in making the dream very real and feeling, as you were saying earlier, also very victimized by it. I noticed, this in myself, and had the had connected with another a wonderful course teacher who was suggested to me, reflected to me that what would be really helpful, what I was forgetting, was the love that I am, that I'm loved, that I'm loving. And of course, that's what brought me to the course in the first place, and brings many of us, is that kind of nagging inner sense that we're not.
Right.
Something's very disingenuous about the way we're living our lives, and it doesn't ring true. It doesn't, we're manipulative in the way that we love, and it seems to always elude us. It's filled with neediness. It's filled with love to us is special love, which is always a substitute of trying to make it work, trying to fill that gap, that loss, that lack that we feel from feeling that we really did desert God and now we deserve to be punished. And of course, it never works. And then we're really in turmoil all the time. So anyway, I went to this review section, or I had already actually read this review section. So it was very synchronistic that the teacher suggested that maybe, in the morning which I had always been doing, of setting my intention to make my day, my purpose of my day, about seeing everyone and everything, including myself, as Jesus sees, the all-loving part of my mind sees us. But to really just take a moment and feel, see if I could feel that love, as several of the workbook meditations, give us meditations that sort of suggest trying to find the light within us, trying to get past the dark clouds of guilt, you know. But we don't do that alone. And the, what the symbol of that love in our mind that we want to access comes to us through Jesus, through taking Jesus's hand, because he knows we are all loved and loving and eternally innocent, that nothing happened. But, you know, I've forgotten again. And so so I started kind of really consciously, you know, that I even though I didn't feel it, using that for the last, you know, few days, week or so, and trying to just open again to that loving awareness of the truth. And it was interesting to see what I found, because the Course's answer always comes through relationship. And what I found was that I was more loving, and that I was not, you know, I was not seeing separate interests. I was in the same problematic situations and relationships that I was dealing with. I found myself just reaching out. You know, the love was flowing through me in ways, in very unexpected and unplanned ways that were not, didn't have a hidden agenda, you know. And so what that told me, you know, after a couple of days of that, I was like, oh, that's the love that I have not let myself feel, because the answer comes to us through forgiveness, through changing our mind about our brothers. And we know we've made the change within our mind when that love does flow through us. You know, it cannot flow through us if we don't have it, if we're not aligned with it. I'm not sure I'm making sense with that, but that's what I really noticed.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So you know, it's really about the idea of connecting. How do we connect with that love? Well, we connect with that love by remembering our purpose, but also remembering, you know, being easy and gentle on ourselves. And when we're being harsh on ourselves and we're being harsh with others, you know, asking to connect with what's true in us. You know, this is not all that I am, and really opening to that alternative, and then just allowing, you know, and not trying to control it or ask it to present a certain way, but just to just say that I am that, you know, God is but love, and therefore so am I. I must be, even though I've forgotten, even though it doesn't feel like it. Only what Jesus is saying about love that includes everyone is true. So if I'm experiencing something different, it must be just that I'm afraid. And I don't know, you know, just not trying to control it so much, and just allowing it, that love to heal our mind, our split mind. And sections like this just kind of beautifully bring us back to that intimacy that we really have to have on this journey, because we, you know, it's very frightening to us if all we think we are is the ego, all we think right. is the personal self. The ego can't undo the ego, you know. We are a decision-making mind, and we're always denying responsibility for that. And so we need to consciously choose to connect with that love in our mind. And that's the stick that I laughed too, because I had put down this sticky note about this whole section being about connecting with the love we are. And then, of course, you know, we couldn't get a connection. Which I thought was just kind of hilarious, actually. But anyway, I've talked enough. So what are your thoughts on this?
Well, my thoughts, one of them is that that's very profound to say the ego can't undo the ego. Mm. I mean, and I do think that's a very profound statement, because to be unconscious or to not be aware is, in a sense, the whole problem. As long as we think we have the awareness, as long as we think we have the answer, then we just continue to walk around the maze, or we just continue to, you know, I've been thinking a lot this past week about the concept that they use in A Course about the ladders. And actually, I'm not even sure that the Course says it as much as I know Ken Wapnick does. And sometimes I listen to Ken so much, then I forget, are these his interpretations, or is this actually in the Course? But it just has become apparent that, you know, whether we're walking around in that maze or we're just continually trying a new ladder, you know, we all have that within us that, I mean, I think we all think there's just got to be another way. There's just got to be. And we just keep trying all these different ladders. We just keep trying all these different ways. And when one doesn't get us where we want to go, we try another one. And we will just continually do that. And the ego can't undo the ego.
Right, right.
And you know, so, yeah, just coming, I mean, as you said, coming back to the basics. In fact, I think I had told you one of the themes that I'm really going with in 2019, especially for the show, is living A Course in Miracles. And that's taken from Ken's workshop called Living A Course in Miracles. And it's something he did years ago. I think it might have even been in 2002, 2004. And I had never listened to it. And going back to it, you know, he just keeps hitting all those basics. But it's amazing to me, however, what I'm listening to in the morning as I'm listening to that, when I turn on the news, they're talking about it. And I mean, it's just kind of funny to me that, I mean, that kind of comes back to that gentleness of who we are. He's giving an example of how the ego will convince us that we're victims, either through relationships or through money or through all these manifestations. And then I turn on the news, or I'm in a discussion with somebody, and all of a sudden there it is just playing out. And so, yeah, on one hand, I literally can just kind of smile. You know, it makes me feel a little more comforted. And I don't know if it brings me back to that point of we really are love. God is love and so am I. But it just brings me back. The ego is so incredibly creative. It will come up with a zillion ways of still telling us that we're separated and that our interests are separated from somebody else's. That it's, you know, kill or be killed, attack or be attacked. And as long as the ego is in charge, as long as we'll just keep going in that circle, you know, how is that ever going to end? In fact, I mean, one of the things I've been thinking about this week is, you know, what's been in the political news, at least, is the former CEO of Starbucks is thinking about running for president. So there's been this thing about the haves and the have-nots and the billionaires and blah, blah, blah. And that alone just makes me kind of laugh, because I'm thinking, when in the history of the world have we not had the haves and the have-nots? Right. I mean, that is such a manifestation of the ego. You've got what I want. Or if you have it, then you took it from me. If I have it, I took it from you. And yet, this is where, you know, coming in and like you said, just on this daily level, how do you process that? I don't want to just throw up my hands and go, oh, well, that's the ego. Well, I'm never going to be able to change that. It doesn't mean that I can't somehow interact in the world. So how do I get back to that place of saying, yep, once again, this is a manifestation of the ego. How can I get back to that place of understanding that I am not the ego? I'm the decision maker.
Right, right. And it's really that if this is my choice for the ego, you know.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Because if I'm reacting to it in any way, it's my choice. We don't, you know, what the world does what we set it up, what the mind
set
up to do. And you know, it is, which is to keep us completely mindless, constantly trying to prove, you know, that one or the other, the ego thought system of one or the other, and the ego's agenda, secret agenda, which isn't so secret once you start looking at it, which is I exist apart from God, but it's not my fault. It's blanks. And it doesn't matter. There's no hierarchy of illusions. The haves and the have-nots, the victims and the victimizers are exactly playing out the same ego. You know, there are all parts of the decision-making mind that are playing that game are invested in the ego thought system, are trying to prove that we really do exist apart from God, but it's not our fault. this mm-hmm. fragment of the decision-making mind that I've identified with, this personal dream that I'm reviewing right now, is shows that I am less guilty than the rest of you, and that's all I care about. And
right.
That he cares about. And so, you know, it isn't a matter of there is no meaningful change in the world. We change a piece here and a piece there, and it always scrambles itself into one or the other. And, you know, is used by whatever part of the decision-making mind is, you know, it seems to be a personal self or a personal organization or a country or whatever. It's used to justify more victimization because we feel victimized, and on it goes, and on the world spins. And mm-hmm. Or says the world is very weary now.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, we've seen within the theater of time, and time is is unreal. It's an invention of the ego to have been spinning our stories for a very long time. And we do have a sense, you know, look at the timelines of history that you in your social studies classes and college history classes and so forth and encyclopedias, all of them, you know, point to. It's pretty predictable. You can see the little, it's like up and down, a little roller coaster of all of the wars and all of the problems and all of the, you know, the good, a little blip of good, and then back to chaos, you know, back to annihilation. And that's the way we set it up. And, you know, it keeps us completely distracted, trying to fight out our battles here as if there's any battle that's necessary, because it's all
right.
Against the belief that we really did separate from God, and it was such a devastating crime and a devastating loss that we have to spend all of our energy trying to defend ourselves against the punishment we have coming. And, you know, the ego is, because we believed this happened, only because we believed it did not, we pledged our allegiance to the ego. And we're terrified of going back to the mind. We're not aware that we're a decision-making mind, that we're a child, one child of God that chose this. And we're, you know, we're not aware until we start really listening to what the Course is saying and practicing what it's asking us to do, paying attention to our reactivity and our constant need to feel unfairly treated, that we have another choice. And so we begin our journey up the ladder. And you were using that that analogy of the ladder, which Ken did use a lot in his, you know, that separation led us down a ladder into hell, into the hell of the world, the ego thought system, and that the Course, you know, the forgiveness leads us up the ladder. And the Song of Prayer pamphlet is where that is mentioned in the Course. It's not really as much a metaphor in the Course that I'm aware of, but it is in the Song of Prayer.
Okay.
And it talks about the ladder of prayer. And Ken really emphasized that because, you know, and you were saying earlier too that we, you know, the ego is always we're going up the ego ladder as well, but not aware that we're always going down. We're always trying to root our ego solutions, are always trying to root us more deeply in the dream, in the cesspool of the dream, in the thought system of one or the other, victims and victimizers. You know, I exist, but it's not my fault. Look how unfairly treated I am. I can't catch a break. You know, whether it's a group, whether it's a country, whether it's a family, whether it's an individual in a family, it doesn't matter. We're all doing the same thing. That's what our borders are all about. And all borders, you know, the borders mm-hmm. set up metaphorically and the borders that we built and you know, and survey and et cetera. So, you know, there is no way out. I mean, we begin going up the ladder when we acknowledge that this is not working, that there has to be another way, this is very disingenuous with what I'm doing. If there's something really wrong with it, and I feel unloved and unloving. And I want to, you know, I want a better way. I want to feel peace. I want to feel genuine love. And that's what the Course is offering us, you know, is a return to the love that we think we crushed, that we pushed away, that we deserted, that we are refugees from now. And it's not true. But we have to begin to question every, as the workbook says, every value that we hold. We don't have to do them all at once, but as they come up, as we recognize our allegiance to them and that they are outside pictures of the inner condition of having pledged our allegiance to the ego thought system of one or the other, we have to recognize this is, I'm wrong about this. This is what's hurting me. This is a choice that I have made and I can choose again. This is not all I am. You know, God is but love and therefore so am I. And all that I have made up to oppose it, that's what's hurting me, but I made it up. And I want to know, I want to feel the love that includes us all. You know, that's the next step up the ladder. That's how I go, rise up the ladder gradually. And it doesn't, you know, again, it's one choice for the ego at a time. What right now, which teacher am I choosing? And can I step back a moment and choose again? Can I acknowledge that I don't want this anymore? And even if I am not ready, if I'm too fearful to experience, to feel the love that is always there for me, that I keep turning away from, that wants to lead me home, that presence of Jesus, can I at least acknowledge that it's there for me? And allow, you know, open that door that I keep shutting to that love and to that answer and just stopping the direction I'm going in right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and one of the words I was kind of hanging on is when you said the allegiance to, because as the Course tells us, you have to question every value that you hold, but it doesn't say you have to let them go. It doesn't say you have to change it. It just says you have to question it.
And to recognize that there's another answer.
Right. And so, you know, when it comes to just practicing it on a daily level, sometimes it can just be overwhelming. Or as you say, you know, we can kind of, you know, if you want to put it in good guys, bad guys, it's like, oh my God, the bad guys are winning or something. You know, just that overwhelming, I'm not making any progress. The world isn't making any progress. What's going on? And it doesn't have to be so black and white. It's every single moment.
Yeah.
And our allegiance, and there again, our allegiance to a thought system. In fact, I've been thinking about this a lot lately too, because in some ways on a psychological level, it intrigues me. You know, once again, coming out of the news, Roger Stone said one of his really strong beliefs is that hate is always more powerful than love. It's more persuasive. It's better. I mean, if you're in advertising, if you're in marketing, if you're trying to persuade or convince somebody, hate is stronger than love. And when you think of that, I mean, it really played into something I'd been thinking about recently, which is, you know, I think in my whole life, I feel like, you know, when you're around somebody and you leave and you feel depressed, you know, or you feel helpless, you feel hopeless, I don't really want to see that person again. Now, maybe I'm being too much of a Pollyanna, but I mean, I tend to at least consciously say, you know what? I want to move in the direction of ideas or thoughts or people that inspire, that make me feel like my energy's higher, that make me feel like life is worth living or make me feel positive. I don't think I am attracted. Well, I am attracted to those other things, but I want to consciously say, no, I don't feel good after I do that. And so it does intrigue me sometimes when I see things going on and I go, you know, that's it. We are so attracted to that attack mentality or to that, you know, dog eat dog kind of thing. And it's like, how do we turn and just go, but you know what? I never feel good. That's never the answer. And how do I always just in every single moment, and we always say it, you know, which teacher are you listening to? Are you listening to the ego? And in some ways, the non-existent ego, you know, this belief system, this idea, or are you remembering that there's another way to look at it?
Right. And, you know, I mean, it is a very present practice.
Yes.
But, you know, in the example that you gave, which I think we can all relate to, you know, we need to, when we are pointing a finger at the outside world or at a person for bringing us down, we know which teacher we've chosen, right?
Yes, yes.
It's totally, you know, I mean, it is not true that anything or anyone outside my mind can bring me down, you know, can destroy my peace, has bad energy. You know?
Right, right. That's a low vibration.
I mean, I know. I mean, we all have that people like that in our lives, and those are our special relationships, and we love to use them. We're not aware of the little gleeful smile of, oh, they did it again. Thank God. I'm the innocent one here. Run away.
That's right. And I'm so much better than that.
Right. And let me get the cooties off of me because, you know, right? I mean, that's kind of life. You know, now I'm going to, like, sage my house or something because I got to get rid of this. And, you know, and we're not aware that that energy is coming from my mind, that's my energy. It's all my own mind in need of healing. And so first I chose to side with the part of our mind that does side with doom, because it was doom. What we are doomed, eternally damned, to repeat these cycles over and over and over again because of what we did to God. So we love that. Actually, you know, we delight in it. But we love to, again, you know, project it onto someone else so that we can feel like we're the innocent ones. And of course it doesn't last very long because, you know, then we start going down and we have to get something to bring us up again, right?
Right.
So,
well,
yeah,
and in the workshop I'm listening to, Gloria, who is Ken's wife, also does some of the teaching.
Yes,
and
it's a great CD set.
It is, yeah, and she's pretty funny because, in fact, Ken, she talks for a while about this process she went through of really kind of experiencing what it must have been like to go through the original separation.
Right.
And now I'm totally paraphrasing here, but she definitely went through this thing of, but, you know, there are good guys and there are bad guys, and, you know, I've got to align myself with the good guys, and we've got to band together, all of us who know this, and we got to do something about it. You know, she obviously was missing the point. But anyway, as Ken's actually talking about this experience, he said, you know, she basically went back to God and said, for your information, you know, this is what's going on in the world.
Right.
You know, of course, the whole audience laughs. But I so resonated with that because I thought, oh, my God, you know, how often do I kind of do that? I'm supposed to be loving, or I'm supposed to be having shared interests. But for your information, God, do you have any idea what's going on? You know?
Right. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And you just have to stop and laugh.
Well, and we are kind of, you know, I mean, we're afraid of God, and we don't, you know, we love the God of that we created, in the ego's image, you know, the God of most of our religions,
right,
which who has a huge ego, a much bigger ego than we are, is much more powerful ego than we have. And so that God we're always trying to appeal to and say, you know, look, this is the bad guy, right here. Mm-hmm. And get him. You've got to spare me, right? I mean, that's what the Bible is all about, really, and including the New Testament, you know? I mean, there's some glimmers of truth in it, but there's a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's again, it's reinforcing the idea that there are, that there's a hierarchy of illusions, excuse me, and that there's good and evil, that there's one or the other. That you know, we have to atone for this original sin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of you know, whatever the heck happened in the garden with the apple and the snake, and, you know, the sin, that sin is real. And it's, you know, it's absurd. I mean, it was just, God knows nothing of this. You know, from the Course's perspective, God doesn't know about the world. And that's actually a really loving statement. You know, there, I mean,
uh-huh,
says in the workbook, there is no world. You know, this is the lesson the Course was meant to teach. I mean, I'm paraphrasing there too, but, you know, God only knows the truth, and it repeats, it says that throughout, that God only knows the truth in us, only knows the love in us. Now, the loving thing about the Course and sections like this is that we have this sort of intermediary, which the Course calls Jesus, Holy Spirit, which we can use, you know, think of in whatever way helps us as an older brother, as a body, you know, I mean, it seems to, if we want to picture it as Jesus, but it's an all loving Jesus. It's not a Jesus of the Bible that had, you know, also had his human issues, right? And still, you know, and was there to redeem us from actual sin that really happened. And, you know, got angry sometimes with his disciples and all of that. So the Jesus of the Course is completely consistently all inclusively loving. You know, there's no duality in the symbol in this Jesus. And so he presents himself as there, you know, recognizing he knows about our dream, but he's there to lead us out of it. He accepted the atonement for himself, as the Course says, and the atonement is just the awareness that the separation never happened. And so he's capable of, you know, we don't know that. We thought it did happen. We believed it. We didn't laugh at it. So he is capable of us, of turning to, as a teacher, to lead us out of this hell that we made. But, you know, we have to choose him. We have to open the door to his awareness. And the Course's way of knowing that we need to do that, of, you know, getting us to that point, is getting us to look at how painful our choice for the ego is, to be present right now. And to say, wow, you know, I don't like, after using the example that you used, you know, leaving this person's house and driving away and spending the next 15 minutes lambasting them in my mind about how negative and what a Debbie Downer they are or whatever.
Right.
You know? So,
or trying to recover just from feeling, oh my God.
Mind after that, you know, tired and you know, that, I mean, that's impossible. So, you know, and you know, we'll go back for more, for sure. If not to them, someone else, if you love it. So, you know, it's really catching ourselves and saying, wow, you know, I must have taken that responsibility back, you know, my decision-making mind, the part of me that is unconscious, I must have already chosen the ego, or I wouldn't have that experience, because it is not true. I mean, the thing that I remember most of all that Ken said all the time is, it is not possible for anyone or anything to take my peace away except me, except my mind.
Yeah, without my permission.
My permission, right? My decision-making mind chose to let that happen. And that's the only reason. This is always and only my own mind in need of healing. There is nothing else that needs fixed here. Mm-hmm. But he also said that whatever, you know, once we have chosen to go back and connect with that loving presence in our mind and say, you know, I want, you know, I open to you. You know, God is but love. And therefore, so I must be, you must be there, even though I must be pushing you away. And I want to turn towards you, you know, when we're able to just say, you know, I'm wrong. And I open to that love. Eventually, once our resistance and fear kind of calms down, we will experience some form of loving behavior within ourselves that tells us we're loved. That's the way the Course works. That's forgiveness in action, you know? And so, you know, I think that, can I just read a paragraph about that?
Yeah. And in fact, I was just thinking, we haven't read any of this, and I hate for the show to completely be gone and we haven't read any of it.
Yeah. So let me read, I'm going to go to, cause I think this is really, I'm going to go to paragraph 9, and because it's really where he gets to the point, you know, again, that this comes to us in a form of forgiveness, in a form of relationship, wherein we think we're, you know, forgiving another person, but in fact, we're just forgiving our choice to identify with the teacher of guilt, you know, which we always will perceive as some sort of incoming attack. We have to project it outward and then bring it back. So he says, let this review be your gift to me, for this alone I need, that you will hear the words I speak and give them to the world. You are my voice, my eyes, my feet, my hands, through which I save the world. And of course, you know, that's a way of meeting us in the condition we think we're in, because this is really just that symbol of that all-loving, you know, undivided or uninterrupted loving presence of God within our mind. And then he says, the self, the capital S self, from which I call to you is but your own. To him, to capital H him, we go together. So that's referring to the journey. Take your brother's hand, for this is not a way we walk alone. In him I walk with you and you with me. Our Father wills his Son, his capital S Son, be one with him. What lives but must not then be one with you. And so the experience will, you know, when we're taking Jesus's hand, when we're willing to do that, we may not feel anything immediately, but we'll know within our seeming dream, because the love will flow through us, and we'll have an experience of letting our defensiveness go in a relationship, suddenly seeing shared interests, suddenly finding ourselves with a very loving, you know, doing something very, very loving, and without any, you know, any of the scheming of the ego involved, you know, of the hidden agendas of trying to get something, you know, the giving to get that the ego, that the Course talks about, that is always of the ego. That's our special relationship bargains, you know. I'm going to do this for you and then I'll get this back. It's not like that. It will be a genuinely loving, you know, something that just, maybe it won't be an action at all. It will just be the awareness that, wow, I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We're the same. We're absolutely the same. We're both having a real hard time right now because we've chosen the ego. I have an ego too. It hurts when I do that, you know? And so compassion just flows, but the compassion will include ourselves. That's how we know we're loved. You know?
Well, yes. Well, and I want to read, I think it's the next paragraph, but just the last couple of lines. We practice but an ancient truth we knew before illusion seemed to claim the world. And we remind the world that it is free of all illusions every time we say, God is but love, and therefore so am I.
Right, right. And it's not the saying of it. It's not about, you know, going around kind of chanting this as an affirmation, but it's about just aligning.
Remembering it,
yes. If what, you know, again, it's noticing all my barriers to it. That's what the Course is about. It's you know, it whatever is in opposition to love that I'm siding with right now, is not my real self, and it's hurting me. You know, it's wrong. It's I chose wrong. It's a mistake, because it's saying that love is gone, and love is not gone. Love still includes everyone. And I can't have the special love that I want just for me, because that is a painful, it doesn't work. That substitute I'm seeking in trying to, you know, guiltily snatch, find it in another body, right? All I get really out of that is more guilt, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm dependent now on the other person who can never meet my needs because they're also doing the same thing.
Right.
Yeah. Right? It's not there. We're seeking for love where it can't be found. We have to go back to the mind where it never left. You know, we think we left. And choose again, you know, kind of reclaim the power of the decision-making mind that chose in the first place and made this all up as a defense. And, you know, each moment that we're willing to do that and share a moment of our reality, our capital R reality, the truth in us that is all loving, you know, no matter what's going on in the dream, all of these parts people are playing and all of this craziness that seems to be happening and all of this conflict and all these victims and victimizers, we're all the same. We all need to find our way back to that part of the mind. And right. The way that I empower the ability in all minds to do that is to choose it for myself, to choose it right now. And that must mean that I drop my projections on my brother. I'm wrong about you. You are not responsible for my loss of peace. That was an inside job.
Yeah. Well, and I want to read the last paragraph. Great. It's yet are the, because this reinforces what you were just saying, yet are the words but aids to be used, except at the beginning and the end of practice periods, but to recall the mind as needed to its purpose. We place faith in the experience that comes from practice, not the means we use. We wait for the experience and recognize that it is only here conviction lies. We use the words and try again to go beyond them to their meaning, which is far beyond their sound. The sound grows dim and disappears as we approach the source of meaning. It is here that we find rest. Mm. You know, so we use the words, we use the tool, but we remember, you know, to put it in other words, the magic is in us. The change is in the experience, right. Not in, as you say, using the words as a mantra.
Right. Which sometimes we use as a way often, you know, to try to sort of, again, stave off like a smudge stick, right?
Yes. Yeah.
it's not like that at all. It's really just, and it's just a phrase that is meant to remind us of the love we are, the love we share, that love we never left, that we're still loved and loving. And that's what every frightened heart, you know, that believes they're here is just, oh, so longing to hear, to know, to experience, right?
Mm-hmm. Shared and interest.
We have had when we do have that shift, as I said, we are then a presence that reminds all minds of that. And we'll remind, you know, whoever we're in relationship with of that as well. And whether we see a shift in them or not means, you know, we don't know how that, the Course assures us that it's felt. You remember all parts of the decision-making mind are afraid of this, so it may not be that we see anything as a result in the world, but the position that we're coming from will be loving, and there won't be any sense of they are different from me. They'll just passion. You know, this is a call for love, and right. I'm gonna answer it. It's my call for love.
Yeah. Okay, Susan, well, we need to wrap up the show.
Right.
I want to say thank you so much for coming today and for suggesting this and, you know, for participating in my dream in such a beautiful way. And I also would remind everybody that you can find Susan and her writings and links to other places at www.forays.com. And that's FORAYS. inforgiveness.com. I would also encourage you to go to www.facim.org, which is the Foundation for A Course in Miracles, where you will find lots and lots of wonderful material and a lot of things to think about and to read, and even to buy some things at the bookstore if you want to do that on that website. It's just an incredible place. And I would also encourage you to join me again next week, where we will continue to listen to excerpts of Ken's workshop, Living A Course in Miracles. So thanks to all the listeners and to everybody in the chat room for being here, and thanks to our producer Brittany. And Susan, before we close the show, do you have any last minute announcements or anything you'd like to wrap up with?
Not at the moment. Trying to just take one thing at a time, you know, one forgiveness opportunity at a time at the moment.
Okay, well, thank you for this beautiful reminder that, you know, to just always come back to that place of love and, you know, wanting to feel that love in our own lives and just remembering that we always have a choice. We don't have to.
You know, how heavily supported we really are, you know. Mm-hmm. Jesus really is, and we can't do this alone. You know, we've talked about that so many times. So reach out to your loving, you know, that loving teacher in your mind, because he's always got our back.
That's right. Because of what you said, that profound statement, the ego can't undo the ego.
That's right.
You know, you don't look for truth in the lie.
Yeah.
You don't look for truth in the lie, which, of course, we do all the time in our lives. We don't realize we just keep dipping back into the pot. Instead of looking outside the pot, you know, looking outside the box for what the truth is.
Just a matter of catching ourselves and choosing again, you know?
Yep.
Practice,
yep.
Practice, practice.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, and everybody, I want to also remind you that this is Psychic Fair Friday over on One to Listen. I do have some scheduled appointments right after this show, but I should be available later this afternoon. If there's something that you want to talk about, something that's on your mind, you'll find me on One to Listen, along with a number of the other advisors who are over there. Also, we are shaking up the schedule on radio. So if you are looking for Mindful Musings with Audrey, that has moved to Tuesday. And I'm not positive, but I think that starts next week. So she may or may not have a show today. You might just check out that schedule and see. But she will be on Tuesdays starting in February. So you might look for that. And also, like I said, we're just changing up the schedule, which keeps everybody on their toes. And we will be staying in this slot, but you'll find some other people are kind of moving around. So make sure you keep going back to our radio website and checking that schedule when you're looking for a particular show. And remember, you can always find the archives. You can go to the on-demand section at 1-2 Radio, and you can find about 6 months worth of shows of this one and the other live shows here on 1-2 Radio. So thank you so much for joining us today, and until next week, relax and wear loose clothes. You have been listening to A Course in Miracles with C.A. Brooks and my guest, Susan Dugan, here on 1-2 Radio, where hopefully we are changing the way you think about seeing yourself as being supported and being loved.